It's 8:05, time to help fund scholarships for U.S. veterans. Donate to the Help a Hero program at a Sports Clips near you. And, guys, the weekend will be upon us very soon. Monster Energy's Aftershock Music Festival happening Saturday and Sunday. Doors open at 11 a.m. Discovery Park. Tool, Slayer, Avenged Sevenfold, Korn, Primus, Disturbed, and more. Tickets still on sale. There's a couple left, maybe just two. So get there quickly. More info at aftershockconcert.com. When I got back from Kentucky, guys, I was trying to catch up on football and stuff, and then I'm reading this morning, and I had no idea that my friends and I were very, very close to a serious tragedy in the sports world that occurred over the weekend. The Cookout restaurant is about a mile away from where we were at, having fun at this at a little establishment called Tin Roof in Lexington. And the second fastest 100-meter dasher of all time, American Tyson Gay, his daughter was shot and killed in Lexington that evening. Just a horrible story. 15 years old, was a very, very promising runner in her own right. This was apparently according to reports there, this was a shooting that happened. She was not a target. This was a stray bullet that caught her, and she passed away early that morning. I had no idea we were there. I mean, I knew we were, you know, in Lexington, obviously. I had no idea how close we were. It was 1.2 miles. I mapped it away from where we were, and we were out at that time when it happened. Remember, you know, you think you'd hear the siren, and I don't know, maybe if I went back, I'd know that there were sirens happening and all that, but it was right where we were. And then reading the story this morning, and I don't know how much coverage this is getting, because again, I just read it a couple days later, but it's one of those things where it's just a terrible, tragic story. And forget the fact that she's the daughter of an American sprinter and celebrity. It's just the fact that this young girl was gunned down for absolutely no reason. So it was a great weekend, no doubt about it. And I had an absolute blast in Lexington, but
I hate to be
that tempered it.
I hate to be the voice of reality here, but it's happening all the time.
Sure,
with no reason behind it.
Absolutely. So, you know, thoughts with Tyson Gay and his whole family.
So
I don't know how you would possibly deal with that. Some things happening from over the weekend in football, obviously, we'll get to. If you missed the first couple hours of The Drive, here's what you missed. And I'll tell you what we missed, because I'll unmute my computer, and now I'll play what we missed. Check that out and more, including the hour we're about to pop on to right here at KHTK.com. Joining us right now, as he does every Monday, the one, the only, Sean Salisbury. Hello, Sean. How was your weekend, buddy?
Very good. How about you guys?
You know, it was great. I was just saying, I was in Kentucky all weekend long. I still got bourbon coming out of my pores, but Lexington, Kentucky is one of my favorite places in the world. Had a chance to watch a lot of sports. And I want to talk to you, the amazing Kreskin, because you are very good at talking football, and you're very good at dealing with quarterbacks. I'm going to read you a paragraph, and by proxy, the rest of the audience can listen in as well. This team is one game over 500. They entered yesterday's game with the 27th ranked passing offense, and their quarterback is the NFL's least accurate passer. He ranked last amongst all qualified quarterbacks in completion percentage at just 56.1% going into the game. And if you were placing bets before the season that we'd be talking about Aaron Rodgers, you'd have a pretty good payout going right now. Sean, I follow you on Twitter, at Sean Unfiltered. This is something mechanically you spotted a while ago, and I think everybody's just now catching up. So good on you, and maybe expand on what you were saying.
Guys, we've been, and it was so funny, I was watching a postgame show on ESPN at one point, and it's almost like, and I know they didn't, but it's almost like it verbatim came out of what I was saying on my radio show 2 to 3 weeks ago. I when you watch him, what's made him so special, going in, guys, in the last 3 years, if we were to say, give me a quarterback who has no weakness. And when you go through, you say, well, Brady doesn't have great feet outside the pocket. Cam Newton's a 58% completion guy, so he's not. Russell Wilson isn't a great pocket quarterback, but becoming better. You go through all of them, and there's one guy who had no weakness. It was great feet. has carried a team on his back when they had 11 guys injured during their Super Bowl wild card year, been the MVP in the post, you know, in the Super Bowl, been a regular season MVP. So 66% accuracy. Got all the great arm, quick release, great feet, presence, leadership. It was Aaron Rodgers. And over the last year, he got hit a lot, still threw 30-plus touchdowns, but that was an off year for him. And it's carried over this year. If I've missed any throws, then I'm sorry, but I've seen just about every throw he's made this year. And because I like to learn stuff from him and see why he's so good. He's been throwing off balance. You know, when you listen to a broadcast, what's the first thing they say about Aaron Rodgers? Oh, throws from different arm angles, could throw falling off his back foot, off balance. Man, he does it. He throws under chaos and in situations with contorted body like nobody we've ever seen. And it's true. It's gotten to the point now when you watch him that when he's got a clean pocket, he doesn't set his feet. He'll fall away. He throws the ball from a clean pocket like he does when he's under duress. And I think it's gotten to the point, and this is the most undercoached position, and I'm talking about the quarterback position in the NFL. During the season, it's the most undercoached position in the league when it comes to mechanics. We are a results-oriented society. Our coaches want you to be perfect, yet then when you go five games where you're struggling, then they say, well, mechanically, we've got to get back to the basics. Well, can't do that during the season. You got 53 other guys and a game plan to put in. So that becomes a problem. So a quarterback's got to take it upon himself to work on those. But Aaron's gotten so good at throwing in bad positions, he can't set his feet when it's clean. And so you watch him and he falls away and steps in. You know, Favre used to get away with some of that. And Aaron will be stepping to his left and throwing a curl route, like a no-look pass like Irvin Johnson used to make. It is, to me, all those things you can do throwing from arm angles and bad feet are great, because most normal human beings, or even good human beings, of course, can't do it. But the problem is he's now become just a guy in the pocket when it's clean, because you watch his feet. He falls away. He doesn't drive through the target. The ball, if you hold it a little longer, then when he does pull the trigger, it's an off balance. So he's not driving his front shoulder through the throw and staying on balance. And I always believe in three things: base, balance, and load. He's always loaded up, but his base and balance are not very good right now. And he doesn't anchor his back foot when it's time to rip it, and he throws off balance all the time. So we've fed into this. And when you hear it enough times, it's like telling somebody they're great looking. And then one day they wake up and realize, I'm a little older. What do I do? I don't look that good anymore. What about the rest of me? What about the core of me? And Aaron's still special, but he really hasn't played special football in a year and a half. It's mechanics. He needs to go back and spend some extra time, even in his off time, a half hour after practice. He may be doing it, but he has lost what made him great. And that's the best. I mean, mechanics, anchoring his foot and throwing on time. And he's lost some of that. And it's almost as if he expects to get hit. So he's throwing to he's creating imaginary pressure in his head and falling away, throwing with bad mechanics. And it is causing him major problems. He's no longer the best quarterback in the NFL, which is shocking.
Well, Sean, you kind of touched on it. I was going to ask you how much of that has to do with his confidence in the pocket when you look at the last couple years, whether it's injuries at wide receiver or just having a shoddy offensive line. You know, how much time does it take to overcome bad habits like that?
Well, I would say, you know, normally with a rookie, we saw David Carr go through that for 4 years, take hits. Look what Ryan Tannehill. I think, guys, Ryan Tannehill's been sacked. And it's not just the quarterback's fault, and it's not just the offensive line fault. Some of those sacks come because the quarterback does hold it too long. Osweiler has struggled with that this year. We saw David hold the ball when he was in Houston a lot of times, take a million sacks. We've seen Tannehill do the same thing. So it's a combination of protection and quarterback. And I would expect to see a little bit of gun shy. And I don't think Aaron's scared of anything. Don't misunderstand me. I still have to hold him in such high regard. But he's got to get out of this. Is that, yes, human nature says, and it's not just the sacks, it's the hits, that eventually when it happens enough times, somebody hits you in the face enough times, hell, you're going to start to see when a guy walks by and raises his hand to put it through his hair, you're going to react and say, whoa, you're trying to hit me again? It's the same in the pocket. So you can create it. But I would expect it to be harder to overcome in a young guy who's trying to learn and has got so much going on in a cluttered head mentally. But Aaron's past that. So this has really got to come back to, and I know receivers still got to separate. I know protection still got to work. But as a veteran, you know you're going to get hit. It's like we tell a receiver, you're going to go over the middle. You're going to get your ass handed to you, brother. So you either can get your ass handed to you and catch it, or you can get your ass handed to you and drop it. And for Aaron, you can either take the hit, falling away, or you can anchor the back foot. So it used to be that when Rodgers didn't play well, he could still find a way to win. and this team, he carried everybody. Mm-hmm. Now it's to the point where Aaron's become a little bit part of the problem, when's the last time we said that, guys? So, yes, taking those hits is one thing, but as a veteran in this league, look around you. Look at some of the other guys. Ben gets hit a lot. He's doing it. Tom's been he doesn't get hit much because the ball comes out quickly, but even when he gets hit, you've got to find a way to go back to the basics. And I can tell you this about Brady. I know for this for a fact because I talked to one of his former teammates. He'll sit there and throw until his arm angle's right during warm-ups or after practice. I talked to a former quarterback who was there for a year with him, said, Tom goes out there, when he was out there, when things aren't going well or when they are, he's grinding every seal. He'll teach guys after and say, we need to run this corner route because I got to get a better feel for the angle. We need to run these slants. And if he doesn't ask him, he tells him. And this is 30 minutes after practice, after a full week of practice. So it's just something he's got to get back to doing well because I think it's one of the more shocking things in the league this year. You know, we got some teams like Carolina that's struggling. I never, ever thought I'd be saying that Aaron Rodgers was below 60%. He's been able to throw 60%, 62, 65 with a blindfold on. You know it's mechanics. And there's a lot of factors, but he gets back to the mechanics, and I assure you, he goes back to 100%, you know, I mean, 100 quarterback rating and 66, 68% completion percentage.
Sean Salisbury joining us on KHDK. I just want to follow up on that point about quarterbacks. I think it was Chris Collinsworth was saying this last night during the Colts and Texans game. The Texans were bringing Clowney and Merciless and the rest of that line nonstop at Luck. And Collinsworth said something I thought was interesting. You kind of hit on that, that some of the best pass protection is a quarterback and a tight end. Mm-hmm. And if you just check down to that tight end a few times, it's going to keep them honest and it's going to slow that rush. And you look at the Packers game yesterday, you know, between Perillo and Richard Rodgers is four targets all game to the tight end. Is that part of the issue for Aaron Rodgers? He's not checking enough?
Well, you know what I think that he thinks when you're as good as him, you think that you can make every single play. And you watch to validate your point is when you look at Aaron Rodgers, when you look at Brock Osweiler last night,
Yeah. Early
in the game, he's been going through some trouble himself of creating imaginary pressure and getting real long in his delivery and windup. And if you watch him, the one thing I loved about him last night is he stayed the course. Instead of, you know, when you're struggling, you say, well, let me start forcing balls down the field. If you notice in the third and fourth quarter in overtime, he continued to throw the ball underneath the tight end. He hit Fedorowicz. Then he hit the running back out of the backfield on a flat route. Then he hits a simple crossing route. He hit four or five in a row. Heck, the longest completion to Hopkins was like 10 or 12 yards until later in the second half. So he continued to stay there. And then what eventually happens, the linebackers get tired of having to come up and tackle. So then you can make that deep throw to Jalen Strong or the zip route, the rip route on the seam route he threw to Fedorowicz. So you've got to, the impatient quarterbacks start to force when they're not doing good things. And I think that's part of Aaron. But, yes, there's something to getting completions. What do we always say? If I'm a quarterback, I want to get my quarterback some early I want to get my quarterback some early completions so he gets into the rhythm. So I know he's relying on Cobb, and I know he's relying on Jordy Nelson. But it's not just the tight end. It's being willing to put your foot in the ground and take the simple, silly play and stay with it. And if they don't want to give you the deep ball, keep doing it. And the Colts kept doing that last night to Osweiler, and he finally responded with some throws down the field. And so while we were frustrated with him the first half, stayed the course and took care of his business and looked like a player because the ball started to come out urgently and on time. So I think that is part of it, but it's a whole thing. It's not just Aaron. That line's got to get better. They've got to separate more wide receiver. They've got to run the ball, but all those things. But still, maybe he set the bar so high we expect more from him, but I don't expect Aaron Rodgers to struggle like this. And his quarterback rating used to be 100. You'd yawn because he knew he was going to do it. But when he's getting outplayed by almost every quarterback he plays weekly in the completion percentage department, guys, if I went into this game and said, watch the poise of the two quarterbacks in the pocket, a rookie Dak Prescott or an MVP who's a Hall of Famer and Aaron Rodgers, and I said, close your eyes, which one looked better? If you didn't know who was who and you weren't a football fan, wouldn't you walk out of there saying the better mechanics and the poise in the pocket was the guy who was playing in Dallas? And how many times have we said that in a game? Not very many.
Sean, I want to switch over to you to the quarterback situation with the 49ers. Obviously, this is something that A lot of people have been wondering when Colin Kaepernick was going to get a shot to start. It happens on Sunday. Not really a super impressive game by him. I mean, he's 13 of 29, 187 yards, leads the team in rushing with 66. Just what did you think overall of his first start for the 49ers?
He's exactly what we think he is and what he's been.
Right.
He's a guy who can't go through his progressions and go curl, flat, check down, post, dig, check down, seam, dig, shallow crosser. The first guy's not there. Maybe the second, he takes off and runs. Now, it's a great strength. As we talked last week, going into this, you're talking about a guy who you knew under Kale. He loves it when he can break out and make plays with his feet because he's got phenomenal feet outside the pocket. But he's not a mechanically sound guy. He's never going to be accurate. He's exactly what you thought in this game. He'll make a few spectacular plays. He'll buy time with his feet. He'll extend a few plays. He'll throw a ball on a curl route. You say, man, did he rip that in there? And then he'll throw one 7 feet over a guy's head who's 8 yards in front of him. That's him. This is him. I mean, I know with all the things that have gone on with the kneeling at the national anthem and all that, and that's his right and all that, has nothing to do with what's going on between the lines when we're playing football. The bottom line is that Colin Kaepernick will never be an accurate quarterback. He gives you a better chance to win with his feet and with his chaotic play because he knows how to create than Blaine Gabbert does. We needed to make this switch. The 49ers are not good, and he'll keep them in it for a minute, but that's what you're going to get, 13 to 29. He'll throw for a couple hundred yards. He'll have a game where he's around 60%. He'll run for 90 yards. Then the next week he'll throw 3 picks, and you'll say, how does he miss that receiver? So this, I didn't expect anything more than what I got from him yesterday. Elusive, make a play, and then you say, where's he throwing it? So this is him. The 49ers quarterback of the present is on there because it has to be. The 49ers quarterback of the future and the backup of the future is not on the roster, period. He's in next year's draft or some free agent out there or some trade going to happen. This is 49er fans what you're going to get. It's an average roster at best. It's a guy who will run around and make plays. You got to keep him in the lineup because he at least can extend the play. Mm-hmm. But if you're looking for a methodical, I said on my NFL show yesterday, he's never going to be able to put together five, and it's not just him, it's the team, but this is him, 5 drives of 70 yards, 12 plays, methodically tearing you apart and wearing you down mentally because he wants to make the big play. He will at times, but this is what you got. Your quarterback is not on your roster right now for next year. He's not there. He made some good plays. I understand it. But when you go 13 to 29, you know, that's just called just a guy. We call those guys Jags, just a guy. He's just another quarterback in the league. And it's unfortunate because at one point in time we thought he was going to be special, but he's biding time until Chip Kelly or whoever else is going to coach that team finds the quarterback of the future, and his name's Deshaun Kaiser, Deshaun Watson in next year's draft.
Now, as far as Colin Kaepernick's future, then, you know, I mean, he still does kind of have this home run ability, but as you said, he's just another guy. I mean, did he do anything that made you think that, I don't know, a decent team could still win some big games with this guy as at least a stopgap or something?
Well, he'll win a game. Seriously, there'll be a time this year. I don't expect him to, you know, he'll win a game where he runs for 108 yards and completes a couple big plays, touchdown. He's got some the thing that bothers me so much about him, he's got a unique ability with his arm strength and with his feet. I wish that he – and then when I heard him say, what was it last year, that, you know, he really doesn't work on mechanics because he doesn't believe that's that important. Are you that'd be like Madison Bumgarner. Why don't you guys call up Madison Bumgarner and ask how he feels about his mechanics. Listen to Smoltz talk about the grind every single pitch, every single day. Call Brady up and ask him what sustained him in his career. An average athlete at best, I can backpedal faster than he can run, but watch his front toe and his front and the mechanics of how he delivers the football. Dak Prescott, there's a reason why. Dak Prescott's a hell of a player. There's a reason why the ball – think about this. I call it an aim small, miss small. It's like a sniper. When they miss, or a golfer, when they miss a good golfer who drives the ball well, when he misses, it lands in the first cut of rough. And he can play a second shot. A sniper, when they aim small, miss small, if they're aiming at your temple, they hit you in the forehead. With a quarterback, when they're aiming at the front shoulder, they hit you in the chest. So their misses are catchable. I tell my quarterbacks, when your misses are catchable, we got a chance. When you got Brock missing or Colin missing, their misses are 9 feet over a guy's head or 4 feet behind them. When Brady misses, or when Rodgers is right, or when you watch the Prescott right now, their misses are all in that target range. When they're down range, they almost hit the target. So Kaepernick, I mean, there's a place for him, not at 17 or 16 million, but there's a place for him. Hell, come on, guys, look around. Look at some of the backups. Are you telling me Kaepernick can't go in and outplay some of the backups? He's not better than Sean Hill at 36. He's the kid, the Matt Moore in Miami. The key is Collins got to show the ability to be a methodical thinker and get back to – he needs to train as if he has no talent. That's what I tell guys with enormous talent. Train like you're a blue-collar quarterback with no talent, no speed, no arm strength. What would you do then? And you know what they all say? I'd work on my mechanics, and I'd be smarter than everybody else so I could stay a step ahead. And that's what the Bradys of the world do. Brady would be last when it came to athleticism, but he's great, and he's a trained killer on Sundays. So I would train him. I wish I had a week or two or a month or two or an off season with him to say, let's get back to treating you like a guy who has no arm strength and has bad feet. Then how would you train? Mm-hmm. And that's when he'll become another player. If not, he's going to flounder around the league, and he's going to be out of the league in 3 or 4 years as a guy that we say, damn, was he good at one point.
It's the fastest 20 minutes in all of Sports Talk Radio. We appreciate you each and every week. Follow Sean at Sean Unfiltered, one of the best sports follows on Twitter, bar none. We'll talk to you in a week, pal. Have a wonderful week and weekend.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
All right, take care. That is Sean Salisbury. We're late for a break. We'll come back. The Ty Lawson situation, it's on the front burner, and it looks like we may have some info today. Later today, we'll discuss that next on The Drive, Sports 1140 KHDK. As Nate mentioned in his update, pitcher's duel last night, Clayton Kershaw trying to shake those postseason demons, and he's certainly done it so far, coming up with the clinching performance, clutch performance against the Nationals. And then again, shutting down the Chicago Cubs. Hey, join me at Malton Mash tomorrow night, 715 K Street, downtown Sacramento. Now, listen up. This
Don't
is
get
important.
All angry.
What are you talking about?
You.
What? Angry? I'm excited.
Join me. Sorry, I'm working, Dave.
I didn't say anything but join me.
Passive aggressive.
Seriously?
We had a conversation about it outside.
You know, if Nate's on my side, you're like
wrong. Nate was not privy to the conversation outside.
Well, you know what? Outside conversations, Katie, those are outside conversations.
We bring him in here all the time.
Because you know what we don't like to do is we don't like to bring up on air that, I don't know, a talent might not be happy about going out to a sponsor
that's
event.
That's not true. Well, that's not what I'm saying.
I'm just saying.
I'm very happy because you're going solo.
I'm happy. I don't have to deal with your punk ass.
Oh,
715 K Street in downtown Sacramento. Now listen up, because this is important. Not the part where Katie jumped in. That wasn't the important part.
No.
Come between 5 and 7
yeah.
to turn in your list of 15 former Kings players. At 7 p.m. sharp, we will start randomly drawing entries. The first two entries to have correctly listed all 15 Kings players will win a pair of Kings Row tickets to opening night. Yes, you have to be there to win. Yes, you can get more info at khdk.com. And yes, I've been getting a lot of tweets and a lot of texts from people saying, you don't only have 14. You only did 14 on the air. Well, where's 15? Well, you can go and check out the Coors Light stand-ups out there at your local stores, or you can look at the list, and I'm going to help you out here.
Yeah.
Look at the list. We put all the great Kings on there. Okay? There's one glaring omission. Glaring omission. Okay? And I'll bet you it won't take any longer than, I don't know, 4 seconds for you to think about what that omission is. Okay? It's not like we're in Michigan. We know how to think out here.
Hell, it wouldn't even be the first time in the last 6 months he's been a glaring omission.
Ding, 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 ding.
It's 8:30.
Is that too much?
No.
Yeah.
It's 8:39. Time to help fund scholarships.
I was just going to say I missed the restaurant, but...
Time to fund scholarships for U.S. veterans. Donate to the Help a Hero program at a Sport Clips near you.
Speaking of glaring omissions,
Ty Lawson was a glaring omission from the plane on the way out from Vegas, shoot around in Vegas, and obviously shoot around in anything else having to do with Lexington, because he did not make the trip to Kentucky. So what we've seen from Mark Stein and Jason Jones of the B is that he will be having a meeting, we imagine, today with the Kings powers that be, and they will make a decision. Now, we spoke about this very, very early in the program, so we'll pretend that most of you are new. In my opinion, Ty Lawson is a human being. He needs help. I feel sympathy for him. I truly do. He has a disease. And again, provided the asterisk here that it was not some sort of tragedy or something completely unrelated, there to me is no other choice. The Kings have to cut him. Offer him help if you want. I mean, please do. That'd be great. But you have to cut him, and you have to keep Jordan Farmar. There's no roster spot if you keep Lawson for Farmar. If you do not cut him, then to me, you lose respect. You're a pushover, and the whole thing about a non-guaranteed contract and a zero-tolerance policy was garbage, and it's just mealy-mouthed BS.
Well, and as we said earlier, if it were something like a personal issue.
Yes, a personal issue, but to clarify,
yeah,
not having to do with past, you
yes,
know.
Like a personal issue, something with the family or any list of things that you could go down.
Yes.
We probably would have heard about that by now.
You'd imagine.
Yeah, you would think that that would have found a way to come out. So we did talk about, well, I talked about the other option that they have, which I'm not saying I agree with this, but there is a possibility, in my opinion, that the Kings could sit down and talk with him today, depending on what he says and the way he delivers and his message or whatever his excuse is, that they can say, okay, well, we're going to fine you X amount of money, and we are going to suspend you X amount of games. If this happens again, you're absolutely out of here. However, that's just an option. That is not at all the option that I think makes sense here.
I don't think that's an option.
I think it's clear in retrospect that even bringing him in to begin with, guaranteed contract or otherwise, mm-hmm. was a mistake. I mean, we saw all the warning signs that there was no accountability.
You're hoping.
Well, you know, you said it, hope in one hand and
yep.
whatever, right? You knew that this guy was not remorseful or accountable for his actions. You took the risk anyway. It came back to bite you before the season even started. He's been under contract for 2 months. A month?
About 2 months.
Not even that, and it's already coming back to bite you? You need to get rid of this before it goes any further. You've already made mistake one by even putting yourself in a position to deal with this, because now there isn't a clean win for the Kings. If they go with the route of suspending him or leaving him on the roster, whatever it might be, that's a loss because, as you said, Dave, you're a pushover. If you cut him, then you're admitting, like, what the hell were we doing, guys? That was stupid, which is already – that's just – confirmation bias in the minds of not just the fans, but everyone perception-wise around the league that these guys don't know what they're doing.
I disagree with you on that point, though, because you offer him a contract. He comes to training camp. It's a non-guaranteed contract. What gamble are you taking if, you know, he's screwed up already, but aren't you kind of glad he's screwed up right now instead of after the regular season started?
Or
if
they just not have to deal with this at all.
I'm a little less hardcore. I your points are very valid, Nate, and especially after what's going on or the assumption of what's going on, it makes a lot of sense. I understand bringing
it up. I mean, is this guy the difference between being in the playoffs or not?
No. But they're in a desperate situation because of another point guard with personal issues, and Darren Collison. They don't have, you know, they have 97 big men, but they have no point guards. So I'm not entirely opposed to reclamation projects.
Not according to ESPN.
Well, yeah, because DeMarcus Cousins is a third backup guard. here's what I say. I think your decision and your course of action is very, very easy. You cut Ty Lawson. You offer him help, be a good guy, be a good franchise. You know what? There's a guy named Tony Douglas who was just waived by Cleveland yesterday. Pick up Tony Douglas. There's your point guard for 8 games along with or just keep Jordan Farmar. Either way, you have two options right there. So we'll discuss this tomorrow, and I'm going to set it up right now. If it turns out that the Kings did not cut him and the reasoning for him missing the flights is exactly what we all hope it isn't but think it is, then I'll tell you right now, I have no problems calling out the franchise for just absolutely being pushovers. And that is the type of thing that extends the poor culture that we've experienced in this city, and it'd be nice to get rid of that now that we're off the burial ground out there at Arco and in a new arena. It'd be nice to change some of that culture, too. 339-1140, Monster Energy Aftershock this weekend. We got two pair, not one, two pair for you. You're the 11th and 12th callers. You're going. Tickets at aftershockconcert.com. We'll wrap up. Chris, I see you on the line. We'll take your calls in the final segment on The Drive. Sports 1140 KHDK. All right, wrapping up here from the 916 on the text line. Give Ty Lawson eight games. If he even blinks after Collison comes back, cut him. Use him ruthlessly just as he uses his skills, his leverage to get franchises to tolerate his bad behavior. That's from Kirk. Sorry, Kirk. You know, no offense, but that's just, to me, a garbage take. There's two things here. Number one, there's the example you're setting for your team and what type of culture you want and what your word as a franchise means to players. And number two, it's not fair to Ty Lawson, let's be honest. And I know that sounds kind of silly here, but you have a guy with a disease and an issue. And if you don't, if he doesn't handle it, you're going to be reading some headlines about Ty Lawson more than likely in the future that are not pretty, okay, that don't involve jail or fines, that are a hell of a lot worse. And I don't think anybody wants that. The man needs help, and I don't care if he scores 30 points a game, because the lesson there is if you can play basketball, and this is throughout sports, well, you can get away with everything. And if you're a fringe player, then you're going to get an example made out of you. And to me, that's malarkey, I say.
Isn't that life, though? I mean,
sure,
people that are more skilled and have talent get special privileges.
Sure.
And, I mean, trying to pretend it's anything different, I mean, I think that that's just, listen, the situation is what it is, and you've got to get out of it as quickly as you can if you're the Kings. But this is the type of conundrum you face when you're a professional sports franchise and you try to play morality police to some degree, whether it's, you know, the 49ers having to cut ties with Aldon Smith and Bruce Miller, or in this case, the Kings are in a tough spot with Ty Lawson. The bottom line is to win basketball games and make money, maybe not even necessarily in that order. And so when you put a guy like this on your roster and you say publicly, hey, you know, listen, he's got a short leash, and you try to play all this stuff like, you know, you're on some sort of moral high ground, which, let's be honest, there's no moral high ground in professional sports, no matter how you play it. Like, it's just not there. And so you run into a position like this where now the Kings can't win. All right. The best case scenario for them is that they cut and run and people forget about this. That's the best case scenario, because they screwed up by even bringing this guy in the building.
So I disagree to a certain extent about screwing up, about bringing him into the building.
It has to be one way or the other, okay? You either have this guy on your team for good or bad and you deal with his talent, or you just don't bring him in.
I see what you're saying, but I had no problem with them bringing him in, especially if they made it very clear that there was a zero tolerance policy, because regardless of what's gone on in his personal life, you always hope that people, regardless of their ability, are able to figure it out.
But follow through on what you said. I'm saying
with them.
Point. Follow through if you're the franchise on zero tolerance.
You have to. Okay. And I don't like when franchises put themselves in a spot where they have to follow through with something like that. They signed Ty Lawson to be on their team to play basketball. Is he going to be on the floor when the ball goes up? I mean, just don't put yourself in that position is all I'm saying. I have no problem with him being on the team, but know what you signed up for and live with it.
I'm going to follow through on my point, though. My point is, having said that I disagree with Nate to a certain extent, I have no problem with them bringing him in. However, I do have a problem with you actually not following through with your promise of not having any tolerance for any bad behavior. And so I think that this is a message you have to send to your team of, this is how it's going to be regardless of who you are.
And, I mean, is the issue, like, it's the fact that he's letting his team down, right? Not the personal issues, all of that. To me, I don't care what it is. If you no call, no show, you've screwed the rest of your teammates. That's the final blow for me.
How about you put a big banner above the offices that says WWPD? What would Pop do? Just follow that line of thinking and you'll be fine. How would Greg Popovich deal with this situation? It's an easy answer. It's not complicated. Deal with it. Nate in the back.
Dude would have never been in the building for Greg Popovich.
Well, there's that as well. For Nate Goodyear and Katie Christensen, Kevin Sharitz and Matt George behind the glass, we always appreciate you joining us each and every day.
Takes are hot.
Well, they are hot takes. We're back on Tuesday, 6 a.m., same time, same channel. In the meantime, enjoy the rest of your broadcast day. Jim Rome is next. followed by the Lowdown and Grant and Doug. That's it for The Drive, Sports 1140 KHTK.